Do you believe that's true?
Yes. Some of us need to think bigger. Realize bigger what He's done. What He's done is so magnificent, so incredible. He is making a masterpiece of your life and mine. But what He did, what He took care of on the cross was everything. Come on, I said He took care of everything. Come on, I said He took care of everything. Turn to each other and said, He's done it all for you and me. Come on, do that. Turn to each other. He's done it all for you and for me. Amen. There's a new cell phone designed for seniors. On YouTube, you actually can go to find the training thing that they did to teach people how to use the old rotary dial phones when they were brand new. I thought that was pretty fun, a great big graphic and all of this. But this is a great cell phone design for seniors. Here's one. Got the cows ready for opening day of deer season tomorrow. I'm a cow, don't forget it. Here we go. School playground equipment year 1900. Apparently 1900 only the strong survived recess. 20-foot tall. How many had things like that when you were growing up? Thank God you're still here, right? We didn't even have crash helmets. We called them heads. That was a joke, a bad one. But all right, here's one. Respect your parents. They pass school without Google. Oh, golly. These three-year-olds these days can turn on tablets, work every app. Me, when I was three, I ate mud. Any little boys in this room ever do that? Little girls? Nobody that you'd admit, huh? Doesn't that look perfect? Oh, man. A day without coffee is like, oh, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I don't know what a day like is like without coffee. I remember when my boys were young, I would return from a trip and I'd have these heavy bags, and they were just delights to me. They'd come running out to the cars as these little guys, and they'd want to take in the heavy bags. Your kids ever do that? They want to take in the heavy bags, and oh man, they were heavy for me to get out of the car. So I'd reach down while they had their hands on the bag handle and I'd pull them out for them, but they were holding on to them, so they thought they were a lot stronger than they were. Oh man, you're doing so good. And we'd kind of carry it together into the house, but Dad was here to help them carry the weight. We learned, and they grew. As they got a little older, Dad didn't have to exert as much energy and effort. And I got bigger because of it. No, I'm sorry, I won't go there. Lost 80 pounds. Somebody didn't know that. Anyway, but they got bigger. They got bigger. And they could carry more and more weight. How many of you know it's like that in our walk with the Lord? He allows us to go through an experience where there's training time. And Dad, by the way, never leaves carrying the heavy end. But Dad allows us to grow our muscles and develop our faith strength to allow us to carry more. And, you know, the scripture that says from glory to glory, He's changing me. Really, if you take a look at it, can be considered from one successful dealing to another successful dealing. He's changing me. He allows tests into my life to prove. He's not testing us to see how we can fail. He tests us to allow us to pass, to see that we're strong enough to pass, and that then we go on to things that happen to sometimes be a little more challenging. Now, my kids grew up in ACE schools. Anybody familiar with the ACE curriculum? Okay. My kids went all 12 years to ACE Christian school. We had a wonderful school, and my kids in some ways probably wished we'd had a little more, the, you know, huge sports programs and football, et cetera. But we always prioritized and put our money where our mouth was for their character and their walk with the Lord. But there was something called, perhaps you've heard of it, mastery learning. Anybody remember or know about mastery learning? And the way ACE curriculum is set up or was set up was so that you would have this pace, this packet of learning material, and you would learn it and learn it, and you'd do self-quizzes and self-quizzes until you were ready to take the exam, because you had passed the self-quizzes, you had learned the material, and then you had to get a certain grade in order to pass. It was called mastery learning. You mastered the material before you could go on to the next subject. A problem in our American school system is we don't require mastery learning, and we don't reemphasize. I mean, a lot of wonderful teachers, don't hear me wrong, but there are times when people are passed socially on and they don't learn the basics. So God requires of us mastery learning, the master's learning, if you will, where he works with us, he teaches, he trains us, and then allows us to go on. Hebrews 6 says, and this we will do if God permit. We've spoken about that. Hebrews 6 verses 1 through 3. But as we carry the load, sometimes life seems overwhelming. Come on, somebody say amen or oh no. Anybody ever feel tested? Anybody ever had any turmoil in your life? Any difficulty, any frustrations just this last week? Come on, anybody honest enough? Here, some frustrations and some issues. And sometimes the Lord seems to think we can carry more than we seem to think. But remember, he's carrying the heavy end. He can do far more than what you think he can. Come on. He can do far more than what you think he can. God does more than you expect. God does more than you expect. And by the way, because he's in you, you can do more than you expect as well. Someone say amen. I want you to look at the scriptures, Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21 out of the New King James. Now to him who's able to do, come on, say it with me, would you please? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Does that say the Lord just allows you to squeak by? Come on, does that say the Lord can, you know, the Lord's not very strong himself. I mean, when the devil brings the temptations and problems, the Lord can barely get you through. Is that what that says? No, he can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Someone say real loud with me, above and beyond. Sounds like we're superheroes from a, you know, animated show, infinity and beyond. Out of the message. Watch this. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God of the church. Glory to God of the Messiah in Jesus. Glory to God in Jesus. There you go. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all the millennia. And you, oh, yes. Watch it out of the passion. Never doubt God's mighty power. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. I want you to read that with me, would you? He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Verse 21. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. How big is your God? How big is Jesus to you? How mighty? He's Lord. He's Savior. He's Redeemer. He went to the cross, died, was buried, but he rose again. And he ascended. The Bible says he lives to pray for his people. He's an incredible, conquering, mighty, victorious warrior and conquering king. The devil must flee in the name of Jesus. All authority, the Bible says, in heaven and earth belongs to him. All authority. How much does that leave over? How much does it leave over? All authority belongs to him. He prays for you. The Bible says he sent his Holy Spirit and puts within you and me his dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. The dynamite Spirit of God was sent and poured out to you and to me, and we're birthed in his presence. All authority in heaven and earth. How big is your God? How big is Jesus? We need to think bigger thoughts and pray bigger prayers and believe him for bigger answers. And you say, well, Kevin, I'm still in the trenches. That's okay. Let's believe big enough to get you out of the trenches. Then when you're on the street, let's believe you're big enough to put you on the freeway. Well, wait a minute. But when turmoil comes, when dark hours come, we are tempted to become overwhelmed and think that Jesus doesn't see. Scripture says he does. And he can do above and beyond all that we ask or even think. Now, have any of you had any desires in your life? Any dreams that are such that you don't even want to tell them to anybody else? Oh, they'll just think that's stupid stuff. They'll just think that's silly stuff. I see lots of things happening in the spirit. I see things on the peninsula. I see things in the state. I see things in the nation. I see it. And I'm kind of a jabbermouth. I just keep talking about it. And some people look at me and go, you really are crazy. But I believe that he's big enough. I believe he's big enough. Come on, I believe he's big enough. Say it with me. I believe he's big enough. Say it again. I believe he's big enough. Turn to each other, lightly bump each other in the arm and say, I believe he's big enough. Now turn to each other and say, don't touch me again. No. All right, what are we going to do? How are we going to get there? Number one, be aware of the devil's work. Be aware of the devil's work. The devil wants you to think that you can't do it. The devil wants you to think that you're locked up in a prison, that you can't handle it, that you can't put up with all this, that everything you're going through is bigger than what you can do. You gotta leave. You gotta leave the job. You gotta leave the marriage. You gotta leave the problem. You just gotta run. You gotta get out of it. Gotta leave the church. Cause after all, I got conflict with somebody and I can't make it right. They'll never get it right. And then I just can't. I just can't. The devil wants you to think that. How many know, and I say this with a smile, have you ever had a problem that you ran away from and when you discovered wherever you got, the problem was still there? Because the problem wasn't in the other person. The problem's there. I guess, Lord, you're dealing with me. I remember going through, I was a young guy in the Lord. Man, it seemed like one hit after another. God was dealing with me and I was having to repent every time I turned around. And I remember saying to Jesus, if I have to do this one more time, next thing I knew, I needed to repent. And I'm kneeling down and honestly, I had no other alternative. I started to laugh. I started laughing. I said, well, that's the last time I'm saying that to you. He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows. He sees you. God wants to make you stronger. The devil wants to make you weaker. God wants to make you stronger. The enemy of your soul wants to destroy you. When you're working on a universal gym or you're lifting weights or exercising, you begin smaller and then build up. And you get stronger. There are times that you think you cannot make it, but you keep going and you surprise yourself. And after a while, those reps get a little easier and you add a little more weight and a little more weight. And the devil comes to hinder and to create shame and to destroy and to make you negative. And if you fall, he doesn't want you to get up, and he breathes all over you with his bad breath to make you think you're nothing. You can't get up and you can't go on. But when you get God speaking to your heart, hold on to his word and don't let it go, because sometimes there's a rocking and a shaking that will come to test it. Watch 9 or 8, verse 44 of John. You are of your father the devil, Jesus said to certain people in the scripture. And the desires of your father you want to do. Now, what does it say about the devil? What does the Bible say about the devil? You let the Bible teach the Bible. There's a whole lot of conjecture and a whole lot of stuff said, but what does the Bible say? He was a, say it with me please, murderer from the beginning. From when?
The beginning.
And does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he, speaking of the devil, is a liar and the father of it. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to, please say it with me, steal and to kill and to destroy. What does that mean? Thief means kleptos. Sounds like kleptomania, the next two words, or these two words, kleptes. And it's the Greek, and it literally means a stealer, to steal, klepto, to filch, to steal. And we get our word kleptomania, kleptomania. Kleptomania is given over to a spirit where you steal many times small things. You don't need them, but you cannot overcome. A demonic twist comes involved. And there's a thing called kleptomaniac and kleptomania. To kill means to you. To breathe hard. To blow smoke. So, to kill. One of his purposes is to kill. And I was saying, the devil will try to blow smoke at you all day long. So you think that you are not who God created you to be. You can't do it. You're nothing. You're destroyed. You know what? There's a word, Pastor Sherry uses this all the time, but there's a word called to neutralize you. The devil wants to neutralize you. So you maybe you blew it and you had to ask his forgiveness, but you're all full of condemnation. I can't help anybody. I can't get any victory. And the devil comes in and he says, you can't accomplish it. You can't help anybody. You're no good. Nothing good about you. And Jesus says, I've forgiven you. I've redeemed you. I've washed you by my blood. Get up, keep going, and you can do what I've given you to do. But the devil wants to blow smoke at you, to slaughter for any purpose. And to destroy, his purpose is apolami, to destroy fully, to perish, to cause you to lose. The devil is for you losing, and God is for you, say it with me, winning. See what Jesus is for. John 10, verse 10, second part. I have come. So we see what the devil's done. Let's look at what Jesus does. I have come that they may have, say it with me please, life, that they may have it more abundantly. Now look, I'm going to say it very straight, and we love everybody. And if people have done certain activities, there is love for them in the body of Christ and by the hand of God. But we need to head straight on and squarely see that murder is of the devil. Abortion, we've killed 60 million children in this country. That is not God, that is of the devil. And we need to love people, minister to people, care for people, but the action is sin. And God can forgive anything. Can anybody say amen? If God can forgive me, he can forgive anybody, right? How come you agreed on that one so quickly? But it's true. But too many, look, in our country, you guys, we're giving ourselves over to a spirit of deception. We'll save the whales. We'll save the seals. We'll save the otter. We'll save the owl. We'll specially save the eagle. And I love all those things. We live here in Port Ludlow, man. We get to see those things all the time. And we love them. But we'll kill our babies. Well, it's my body. No, it's another body inside of your body. So as Christians, we also need to provide for those who are unwed mothers and carry those babies to term. And we need to be involved in adoption. We need to be loving and forgiving and having mercy. But we don't solve anything if we don't see the reality of what it is. Do you know they say, well, except in cases of rape and incest. Do you understand? Dr. Ben Carson had a quote. He was a brilliant surgeon. He said, out of all of my years of practice, and others will agree, those who come in for that kind of abortion are less than 1% of all abortions that have ever taken place. So what I'm trying to say is, but we're deceived. You know, you'll find on Facebook right now, there have been people who have been managers of family planning or Planned Parenthood, who have come out to finally see they saw an abortion take place and they saw the little baby in the womb literally flee from that in pain. And they changed forever. And they said, it wasn't what I was told. But we have allowed a deceiving spirit in our country. So our country needs healing and needs the Lord, needs revival, doesn't it? Okay. So entire industries are established about taking of life when God is for life. Someone say that with me. God is for life. Jesus can forgive. If anybody in this room has been involved in that activity, the Lord loves you. We love you. That's not a matter of forgiveness. That's simply a matter of truth according to the scripture. But confusion and strife are the devil's tools. He uses them. What do you see loosed in our land right now? Confusion, strife, anarchy. And that's not of God. God is the author of power, love, and a sound mind. By the way, that's a great verse for the sound people. Power, love, and sound mind. But confusion and strife are the devil's tools. Cast him out and reign in Jesus. Come on, say that with me. Cast him out and reign in Jesus. Look what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 14. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And then we have another verse that talks about James 3:16 and 17. Where every envy or where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom, watch, the wisdom that is from above. From where? Above. Is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. When the argument between spouses and friends and churches and families gets so strong, who do you think is behind it? Not God. The devil. Who do you think wants you to get through it and be able to triumph? Jesus does. By the way, I don't know about you, but I've had people in the past, some people that declared they were of God and just ripped me to shreds, one side and down the other. If you'll examine the scripture, what we just read is the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated. I've stopped them and I've said, could you consider that possibly that's not the spirit of the Lord? Oh, no. I know I've heard from God. You may not be able to change their mind, but you can continue to pray for them. Because that's not God's spirit. It doesn't mean there's no anger. The Bible says be angry and sin not. God's angry at sin all the time. But in relationships together, we need to walk in righteousness and build each other up and strengthen and help each other. When the attitude, if the event is all full of agitation, anarchy, to ruin and to destroy. I'm telling you again, look at our country. If you're going to go break windows, cause fires, take lives, I am here to declare to you as your pastor, look in the Bible, that's the devil, that is not God. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I understand life's not easy and sometimes very frustrating for people. We need to bring our part, to do our part, to help see justice for people when they are wrongly treated and abused. We do. And it's not righteous to rip apart unrighteously any particular person. Color of their skin doesn't matter. But we need to be able to handle it in a right way. All right, Jesus is in charge. Express His dominion. Say that with me, please. Jesus is in charge. Express His dominion. The Lord's called us to stand, to walk with Him in righteousness, to continue to be transformed, to be like Him. He wants us to keep walking and changing and growing. He's given us provision that we need to practice. Amen? He's given us His provision that we need to practice. And we're growing in that. Watch this. Luke 19, verse 3. Read it out loud with me. Occupy till I come. This is following that section. And it's a conclusion to that section where he gave out 10 minus 5 minus 2 minus, according to the scripture, what'd you do with it? And one guy says, well, I buried it and all this stuff because I knew you were an unrighteous guy. And he says, take it from him, give it to the guy who multiplied it many times over. And the bottom line conclusion is, occupy till I come. Do business till I come. Be about the business of being a Christian, celebrating the kingdom, bringing His kingdom on earth. Do it all every day. Don't hide. Don't run. Don't retreat. Don't look at your country full of chaos and run in fear. Be salt and light to this generation. And if we retreat, where's the salt and light go? Bring Jesus. Bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Port Townsend, Port Gamble, Port Ludlow, Port Hadlock. Every port in the storm needs Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Occupy till I come. That's His business. To bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes trouble comes, tells us to rule over it. Kingdom living is not running in agitation and fear, but to transform life and living with the presence of Jesus. Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in, now, many times, remember, in Hebrew and Greek in your Bibles, the punctuation was added later by copyists. So you can look at this. And many times other translations will put that comma after like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood. How many know God is the one who is righteous and far bigger than the enemy ever thought of being? So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. It's probably the far more accurate way, and it's certainly the way I prefer to read that, because it's identifying the strength of the Lord. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. God is so big. Don't live with the fear of the devil chasing you down. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. Don't live with the fear of the devil. Oh, the devil's after me. Well, tell him to turn around and get out in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, James 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil. Boom it out with me. What's the last part say? And he will flee from you. Out of the message. So let God work His will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. I love it. I've had times, maybe you have too. We should do it more often sometimes, but if you're confused and agitated, we need to remember we have the mind of Christ. Lay hands on your own head and declare it. The devil has to get out in Jesus' name. I have the mind of Christ, because you're personalizing what the Bible says. We have the mind of Christ. Say it with me. We have the mind of Christ. Say it again. We have the mind of Christ. Rise up. Rise up and reign in life in Jesus. Romans, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 17. Out of the new living, even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus is in charge. Express His dominion. First, be aware of the devil's work. Number two, Jesus is in charge. Express His dominion. Number three, remember, Jesus wins, and you reign in life through Him. Is it true?
Yes.
Come on, is it true, church? Acts 8. I'm going to read through this scripture. We did this in a message just a couple of weeks ago, but it still applies. Watch what happens. Now Saul was consenting to his death, meaning Stephen's. Remember, Stephen had been stoned for doing miracles and proclaiming the truth about Jesus. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Now, when Jesus went to the cross. How many think the devil probably was laughing and thinking that he had won? But the very thing that destroyed him and sent him to the pit of hell was the thing that he thought caused him triumph. Jesus destroyed the devil at his worst at the cross. Because he not only died and was buried, he rose again. So, what do we have here? Great persecution rose against the church at Jerusalem. They were all scattered. We'll deal with the church, the devil might be heard saying. We'll deal with those people. They were all scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, consider Saul made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And surely the devil thought he had won. Surely this will stop this business. Jesus is killed. The devil had thought he'd won. But again, now let's scatter the church. We'll put a stop to this. But look at what God did by the very thing that the devil thought he was winning in. Therefore, those who were scattered, say it with me, please, went everywhere preaching the word. You just can't keep a good church down. Listen, it's powerful. The Lord wanted the word to go forth, and his people got comfortable, and persecution came. But they went everywhere, and everywhere they went, they preached the good news of Jesus. Everywhere we go, we preach the good news of Jesus. Not only did the devil not win, but his very efforts destroyed his own. Watch what the Bible says. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. How many think the devil was not winning? And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. How many think the devil was not winning? And there was great joy in that city. Jesus was enthroned and the devil had to flee. And great joy was the result. Reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Next week, we're going to take a look at a little more about how Jesus walks victoriously in and through his people. You come back and we'll talk about it some more. Because he takes us by surprise, even as he answers prayer. Have you ever been surprised by God's answers to your prayers? He can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Come on, I'm going to say it again. He can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Are you troubled by confusion? Are you troubled by agitation? Are you troubled by fear? Jesus is not the author of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Are you troubled by sickness and disease? We proclaim Jesus as the healer. Come on, we proclaim Jesus as the healer right now. The risen Lord, the resurrected Savior, the one who conquered the death and devil, and he conquered the grave. Jesus is victorious. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords. Jesus is the one who's risen again. Jesus is the one who sets the devil fleeing. Jesus is the one who released the kingdom. Jesus is the one who gives you new life. Jesus is the one who takes you out of the darkness that you're in. Jesus is the one who puts you on a solid foundation again. Jesus is the one who says, your sin won't destroy you. I died for that sin. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the one who on the cross of Calvary said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, but I died for every one of them. And God is good if you surrender your life to him. Jesus is the one who sees you right here, right now, right where you are. Stand to your feet, please. Jesus sees you. And he knows you. I want you to close your eyes, please. If there is anyone in this room who has been battling with a spirit of fear this week, every eye closed, I want you to raise your hands, please. Come on, raise them. Spirit of fear. All right, put your hands down. Several. There's anyone here who's been battling with a spirit of confusion? I want you to raise your hands, please. Every eye closed. All right. If there's anyone here with those hands down, there's anyone here with your eyes closed, please, who has convinced yourself that the Lord does not see you, I'd like you to raise your hand, please. Come on, raise your hand. All right. I want you to know the Lord sees you. The Lord knows you. And the Lord is the author of peace, of power, and a sound mind, not confusion. And the Lord is not the author of the confusion or of the fear that you are facing and the turmoil that the devil has brought your way. Now look, if you've made a choice to turn away from the Lord in some way, then that results in problems. Just repent of it this morning. Just ask Him to forgive you this morning. And when you do, it's gone. Jesus restores you. And Jesus can do anything. Right now, together, with every hand raised in this place, we're going to cast out a spirit of fear. And we're going to take authority over a demonic spirit of confusion. And we're going to take authority over a turmoil that has come to create a sense where you don't think He sees you. Are you ready to pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You, the all-powerful, almighty God. Jesus, we come to You, the triumphant King who has risen from the dead, the One who destroyed the devil and the flesh, who destroyed every demonic power at the cross and in the resurrection, and the power of the blood prevails. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you are defeated, and we tell you to get out and flee in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of confusion, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of confusion and a sense of turmoil where it causes one to think that God doesn't see. We cast you out in the name of Jesus. Now throughout this room, we proclaim the blood of Jesus and we release the Spirit of the living God to minister a new confidence, a new hope, a new sense of joy, even as people leave from this place today, that they go in the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, say it with me. The joy of the Lord, personalize it, is my strength. Again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. One more time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Musicians, will you come? We pray that as if you're a guest here this morning, that the Lord has ministered to you. If you're not a guest, I pray the Lord has ministered to you too. God loves you so much. When you go from this place, He wants you to know that He is so good. Go. Thank You, Lord, that You have freed us. And we can reign in life through Jesus. And we do by the power of Your life, Your love, and Your blood and grace. Thank You, Lord. Bless Your people as they leave this place to go in the joy of the Lord. The Scripture tells us, as your hands are raised, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.